Our Old Testament reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 7, commencing from verse 1 to verse 11. When the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess, he has cast out many nations before you: the Hittites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jeshurites. Seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. Nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor take their daughters to your sons. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. Then the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. But thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their sacred pillars, cut down their wooden images, and burn their carved images with fire. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you, because you are more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all the peoples. But because the Lord loves you, because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, for the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore, know that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for a thousand generations with those who love him and keep his commandments, and repays those who hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not slack with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Therefore, you shall keep the commandment, the statutes, and the judgment which I command to you today to observe them. Here is our Old Testament lesson. Our New Testament lesson is from Ephesians, and it's chapter 4, and we read in verses 1 to 16. Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy to the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavouring to keep unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measures of Christ's gift. Therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. He gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended. What does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself.
That we're going to be thinking about this morning in our message. For some of you singing that this morning, you just think it's something rather fanciful. Something a bit extreme, maybe for some cult or other, to sort of somehow hear the voice of Jesus say directly to us. Do you believe that? You just sang it. You just said it in words, haven't you? And I've been pondering on that ever since I was saved. That actually statement, and it's a wonderful statement. And we're going to examine it now as we look now at verse 22 to verse 30 of John chapter 10. And this wonderful intimate relationship that the shepherd can have with the sheep. And how is it all possible? Well, it's really ultimately possible, as we shall see, by the effectual call of God. Now, verse 22 of our reading in John chapter 10 says, "It was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. And then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, 'How long do you keep us in doubt or in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly.' Jesus answered them, 'I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one.'" A glorious word, something wonderful. Assurance to our hearts this morning. If there are those this morning and you're in doubt, Lord, may the Lord give us great assurance from what we're reading and studying this morning. A word of prayer now. Father, these are wonderful words. You are a good shepherd indeed who look after your sheep. And Lord, as we as your sheep, we're always looking for extra pasture. And we pray that you might feed us this morning. We need it. We need to lie down in green pastures. We're surrounded by a world of anxiety and depression and trouble and worry, and we get caught up in it. And we need to remember your precious promises that are here for us today. And so bless our time and our study this morning, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our title this morning gives us effectual calling, which leads to eternal consolation. And we see within that, ultimately, that our Lord says, "My sheep hear my voice." And in that process of hearing his voice, he gives us many, many blessings, which we will call consolation today. Let's have a look at this aspect about calling. Let me think for a moment, let us think together for a moment about Saul of Tarsus. And certainly he was no sheep, and he never really gave the impression of being one either. In fact, in many ways, he was his own shepherd. He was what you might call in today's terminology, he was a self-made man. And if he was applying for a position, he'd be able to tick all the boxes. What would that be? He could say, "I'm a Benjamite, I'm circumcised the eighth day, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews, I'm blameless, I'm a Pharisee." Well, yes, he was no sheep bleating for a shepherd. And he didn't see himself as the one in the 99 lost in the forest, needing to be laying down in green pastures. Yet, when he came across this peculiar people, a people of what he thought was a people of a cult called the Way, and they began to proclaim such matters that Jesus had not ultimately died, but he himself was alive, his anger was kindled, and he was a man with a mission to eradicate those apostates. And yet, at the stoning of Stephen, where he held the clothes of those who stoned, he felt a thorn go through his sheepskin, and instead of shouting over that still small voice, he eventually yielded and stopped kicking against the pricks. The sovereign, electing, gracious choice of God won the day. He heard the voice, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the bricks." But wait a minute. Who would bother with this wild goat? And yet, called by the King of Kings to be his sheep, called effectively. So what should we say also, another one, this polytheist in the Ur of Chaldees? The Lord said to him, "Well, I'll make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." It was Abraham, called about of idolatry to follow the Good Shepherd. And, oh, let's not forget, an escaped murderer keeping watch over his flock at the backside of the desert, and he was alerted to a burning bush and a confrontation with the great I Am. "Bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Moses was called. A little boy, asleep at night. His name was called, actually three times. But the high priest, who didn't seem to have a great deal of discernment, ultimately said, "I think the Lord is calling you." And Samuel was indeed called by God, called to save, be saved, and to serve. And what should we say of a man in prison, a dreamer who would be mocked by his brothers, sold as a slave and put into prison, and before long found himself as a prime minister in Egypt? He was a man called, his name was Joseph, and disobedient Jonah, and David, the right, you might say, of the flock, the one that mainly wouldn't bother about, and yet they were called, as was a greedy man up a tree, an adulterous woman, a lame man since birth, a jailer in Philippi. Who would bother with them? Who would call them? And yet, as reading from the Westminster Confession, it tells me this. This is God's free and special grace alone, not for anything foreseen in man who is altogether passive there, until being quickened and renewed by the Holy Spirit, is therefore enabled to answer this call and to embrace the grace offered and conveyed it. The Lord said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them." There needs to be a response. And there is a relationship. "I know them," he said. And there is a reward attached to this as well, as our Lord said. "I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." For this is effectual calling, leading to eternal consolation. It's encapsulated in those verses 27 and 28. the sovereign work of God in what we call the order of salvation. It's a shortened form of this, you might say, and it's given by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the Word made flesh, but he's surrounded by hard-hearted Jews. And he said to them, you are not of my sheep. You're not called, in other words. Elsewhere, he says, he's surrounded by thieves and robbers, and they do not hear him. And we could say, in the words of Stephen, they were uncircumcised in heart and ears, resisting the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's the same in our day. We're living in a very, very noisy generation with a continual onslaught on our spiritual and our physical ears. There is an immense amount of traffic around today. Yes, radio, television, internet, mobiles, causing continual breakdown in communication. And what should we say with people constantly enshrouded by buds or headphones? And why do they wear them there all the time? This is my conviction. It's to keep their consciences anesthetized. The devil, through this means, as at the beginning in our Lord's day, in each generation, is still continuing to whisper, has God sinned? There are many enemies today knocking at the heart's door, desiring entrance to have control over our life. Yet, fear not, little flock, as our Lord might say, God has a plan that will never be thwarted, and it leads from effectual call to eternal consolation. We might just read, and you could read with me in the newsletter there, the wonderful text that we find in Shorter Catechism number 31. And it tells us there in 31 there, this wonderful truth about the effectual calling of God. Effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills, he doth persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ freely offered to us in the gospel. My sheep, says the Lord, hear my voice. It's personal. To hear is perception. My voice gives us power and authority in guidance. Let's look at that little phrase first. My sheep. You know something? We're made for intimacy. We're made in the image of God. And that intimacy is very clearly demonstrated in our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We hear the Father say to the Son, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we hear the Son in the high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, there where he says, Father, that they might be as one as you and I, Father, are one. And right at the beginning of creation, we're well aware that God breathed into Adam and he became a living soul. And he walked with him in the cool of the day. He gave Adam Eve. And there was intimacy. There was love. There was satisfaction. And in their nakedness, they were not ashamed. And Eden was heaven on earth. And there was the unspoiled creation, the beauty of creation, all about them. And there was the Creator, the Shepherd, and the obedient sheep taking care of creation and being fruitful, or seeking to be fruitful and to multiply. And in that there was purity, there was holiness, and above all there was intimacy. Yet sheep were led astray. Listen to the voice of the wolf, the thief, the robber, the hireling who does not care for the sheep. And the voice of the wolf undermined the voice of the shepherd and poured into the pristine mind doubt, and it still remains there today as the devil seeks to whisper into minds, has God said? And the sheep went astray and no longer felt the intimacy. The waters were no longer still and the pastures no longer tender, soft, and now walked in the shadow of death and feared evil. When God said to Adam, where art thou? God remained, yes, intimate and personal, but not so Adam, seeking his own covering and blaming his wife. The peace of paradise is lost and replaced by the pain and paralysis of mind and body, with lacking intimacy becoming distant and distorted. Yet, as our text says, my sheep, saith our Lord, and he would now look beyond his day, look beyond the disciples, look beyond John the Baptist, look beyond the immediate faithful followers, and look into eternity. They relate to Jew and to Gentile, chosen before the foundation of the world, that his sheep, his people, his elect, would be holy, that is, sanctified, and without blame, that would be justified before him in love. They would be predestined to adoption as sons according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted, lovely word that, isn't it? Accepted in the beloved. In the beloved. It's personal. My sheep. Personal. One fold. And now take that word here. Here. What do you hear? Do you hear the voice of God? Are you just going to give me an intellectual answer to that? Something you maybe learned again respectfully out of a catechism? What do we actually mean to hear? Well, the interesting word in the Greek, we get the word acoustic. My guitar is acoustic. It doesn't need an amplifier, it doesn't need anything extra. It's as it is, as it's made. This hearing shouldn't need extra in that sense. Remember what Paul said, speaking to the Corinthian church at one time. They really got caught up in the issue of tongues. And he said to them this, for if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? As we look historically, and even in the day, uncertain sounds initially came from Eve, all from the devil, to Eve, to Adam. Uncertain sounds came from Jezebel to Elijah, causing him to flee and almost lose his faith. Uncertain sounds came from a servant to Peter, and then their perception was lost. You know, the admonition of the Lord to the churches was this: he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The Lord said here, my sheep hear. And you know, in his day, it tells us the common people heard him gladly. Did you ever pray in this manner? Master, speak. Thy servant heareth, waiting for thy gracious word, longing for the voice that cheereth. Master, let it now be heard. I am listening, Lord, for thee. What hast thou to say to me? My sheep, it's personal from the Lord. To you and to me. To hear, to give us perception. And my voice, he says, which is personal and powerful. And again, this day, I may say to you, lovingly, there are many voices clamoring for our attention. Not powered by the Holy Spirit, but powered by the flesh. encouraging us to lust, to be greedy and selfish. And we need to attune our voices and say such, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offence to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men." Let's think for a moment, the voice of the Lord. What did it cause? What happened as a result of the power of the Lord's voice? The creation of heaven and earth to come into being. It says, "And God said, cause the dead to live. Lazarus, come forth." As the hymn puts it, he speaks, and listening to his voice, new life the dead receive. The mournful broken hearts rejoice, the humble poor believe. And this effectual call, can I ask you now, come down to earth. Have you been effectually called by God? Are there signs following your call? Or are you just ho-humming your life for your so-called Christian life? When we use that word effectual, it's ultimately from God to your heart and your life. And that call is not only for your salvation, but it's also related to your service for Him. This effectual call in the timetable of our Lord is a work on His beloved, His elect, and will go on working in your life and mine. Initially, a work of God's Holy Spirit, convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills. He does persuade us and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ freely, offered to us in the gospel. And this is a high and holy and heavenly calling. There's a book I highly recommend for you to read by John Murray, Redemption Accomplished and Applied. And I quote just a little paragraph from this, and it's highly challenging as it talks about the effectual call. It is high, holy, and heavenly in its origin and in its destiny. But it is probably the character of the calling that is particularly stressed. The life into which the people of God are ushered is one that separated them from the presence, or rather from the fellowship of this present evil world, and imparts to them a character consonant with that consecration. And this is what really spoke to me. May it speak to us this morning, as we really do need to lead holy lives. This is what Murray says. If we find ourselves at home in the ungodliness, lust, and filth of this present world, it is because we have not been called effectually by God's grace. The called are the called of Jesus Christ, called to be His property and peculiar possession, and therefore they are called to be saints. We are not called to antinomianism. We are not called to just please ourselves. We are called to be set apart, and that effectual call, yes, will work in our hearts and life, but it does demand on our side that we might be obedient to the voice of the Lord. See, the Lord gives us, when we're regenerate, a new heart and a new spirit. He gives us, yes, a new birth. We are a new creation. And here's some words that you may or may not remember or have heard before. But the theological perspective here now on the word effectual call, that is all of God electing you before the foundation of the world, and at a point in time in your history of your life, He calls you to Himself. And this effectual call is the following. Firstly, it's prevenient. It precedes all spiritual activity of man which pertains to salvation. Secondly, it's monergistic. It's accomplished solely by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, it is mysterious. It cannot be observed or described. Fourthly, it is sovereign. It takes and place when and where the Spirit wills. Fifthly, and this is what we all like, it is effectual. Spiritual abilities, previous lacking, are now given. The recipient can see and enter the kingdom. We move on. Our Lord said this, I know them. I know in Scripture, the word know, these are not more than just an intellectual understanding. You may, like me, have countless books on the shelves of systematic theology, Christian history. I've got them all. You name it, it's there. But I can also be totally barren in knowing God. That's awful. Have all the books under the world and still be dead to actually knowing the intimacy of God's power and authority in my life. I could be a Pharisee, a Sadducee, a scribe, a Saul of Tarsus. I could have a form of godliness but deny the power. And yet, when Saul was effectually called, hear what his heart says. He says, oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And again, you see, when people are called, it doesn't mean that there's a place of arrival. We're still frustrated in our lack of knowing. But we cry out in our souls, surely, as Jacob, I will not let thee go unless thou bless me. You may have ritual. You may have religion. That may be your lot. But where is the reality of a relationship with Jesus Christ in your life? Let me ask you again, seriously, now be honest with me. Do you really hunger and thirst after righteousness? Do you desire to be pure in heart to see God? Do you like our dear Cooper who says, oh, for a closer walk with God? And he says, I hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my heart. Oh, dear Bernard of Clairvaux, Jesus, the very thought of thee, the very thought of thee with sweetness fills my breast. Oh, dear Wesley, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. Thou art Christ, art all I want, more than all in thee I find. Is that you? Where did you get that behind? You're almost saying, is this the Christian life you're talking about? Yes. Should there be great desire? Yes. Should we have a great desire to know him? Yes. This is normal. This is not something, you know, from some extreme cult over the road. This is biblical. To have that great desire in our heart to know him. Oh, to know him better. And the good encouragement here that we find in Scripture, it says, our Lord says, and I know them. We'll never match his intimacy, whose eye is on the sparrow. But let us gain perception to his voice, to be still and know that he is God. We are his sheep, we are his elect, we are his beloved. And those that are his, they follow him. And of course, in those days, there were many rabbis, and there were many false prophets, and every day, and in our day, there are false prophets and false prophets. And when there was a falling away from him, the disciples at one time said this, because some found his sayings too hard. He asked the disciples, will you also go away? And what was their response? How can we? For thou hast the words of eternal life, and also we have come to believe and believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Our Lord said, my sheep hear my voice. The response is, I know them. And there is a relationship, and they follow me. And there is a reward. It is effectual cause. There is a wonderful reward. And he says, I give unto them eternal life. And so here we find this crossover in this text from effectual calling through the process of regeneration, justification, adoption, sanctification, glorification, and eternal life, from effectual call to eternal consolation. Our Lord said this, they shall never perish. What does that mean? They will not go to hell. Hell is a literal place of weeping and of gnashing under the wrath of God eternally. But there is an exemption from those who belong to the Good Shepherd. He says, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And let me just remind you just of a few scriptures to encourage you. Our Lord said this, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And again from the same book of John, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but I should raise it up at the last day. And how can we miss out that wonderful encouragement that says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are a gift, says verse 29. We are a gift from the Father to the Son for his wonderful work, for dying for us. And you know, the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. In other words, he won't change his mind. I and the Father are one. This is where we close with this wonderful thought too. There's much issue about the deity here. I don't think ultimately the deity is the most important matter here. It's the fact the Father and he are one on this eternal matter of effectual call that was dealt with in eternity. They work together as Father and Son, the Father to be the author of salvation, the Son to accomplish, and the Holy Spirit to apply this truth to the hearts of own, ultimately and beginning with an effectual call that leads to an eternal consolation. So can I say lovingly to you, where are you? Have you been called? Have you been effectually called? It would be demonstrated and needs to be demonstrated in your life right now. Let me ask you for a little temperature gauge this morning in closing. Where is your gratitude this morning to God? Is it ultimately for the cross? Is your love for him as you look away to him and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich, so full, and so free. Is that where your gratitude is? Is that where your heart is? Do you, yes, ask you, do you actually hunger and thirst after righteousness? You say, is that abnormal? No, it's totally normal for the Christian life. To look around and to be frustrated to what you see, the immorality, the idolatry which you see and hear all around you, there should be that wanting to run away as fast as you possibly can and hunger and thirst after righteousness, if you have been effectually called. Do you have a desire to be holy? Do you? The Lord said in Old and New Testament studies, he said this, that you might be holy as he is holy. Do you keep short accounts with God? Do you recognize sin in your life? And in recognizing it, do you keep short accounts? You have a hurt in your heart. You grieve God by your sin. He is holy and good and pure, and you're not. And there's an ache in your heart that you've offended the one that you love and who loves you. Many more we could say on this matter, but the last question I have, do you have a concern for the lost? That's a good evidence if you've been called. Do you have a concern for the lost? If you really do believe, as I do, and I trust that we all do, in an eternal hell of burning and weeping, and do you have any concern about those? Your family, your friends, your neighbours, that they might hear. Ultimately, you will be the link of that effectual calling to someone else's life to hear the gospel, that they might be saved. Do you have a concern for the lost? And these are sort of like a temperature gauge to sort of find out if you really are effectually called, and if you are, or if you're challenged by this, and it may be that I don't really think I am, then it's really a need for you to repent of your sin and to believe in the one who died upon the cross for you. Effectively called. Oh, that we might be sheep as we are, and we might hear his voice. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, help us to learn to be still and know that you are God. We're all so busy, we almost boast of our own business these days. Everyone's busy at something. And yet, Lord, if we're not busy in these important matters that we've considered this morning, we might find ourselves hanging our head in shame before you, Lord, as perhaps we will anyway. But we want to spend our time, we want to know your voice, we want to hear it effectively, we want to do what you want us to do, and to be aware of your calling. So help us, Lord, as we enter into this day further, into this week further, into our life further, that we might be mindful of the way your Spirit is working in our lives, that we might ultimately be far more effective than what we are already. Thank you for your word, and continue to bless us as we close shortly with this service and go into this day. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Indeed.